And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. Scott Spears back with you here on this Monday, July the 10th, 2017. 1:14 coming up on 1:15 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time on a very dark and rainy day here in certain parts of Ohio, central Ohio. Our first guest this hour, I am so pleased to be joined by. She has been a guest on this show, I believe, two previous times, but I'm sure you have heard about her a lot, quite a bit in the news, as last week she announced that she will be running for governor of Ohio in 2018. She is the state's current lieutenant governor, Mary Taylor. Lieutenant governor, how are you? Well, not quite there yet. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to wait for her, take a break, and be back right after this short but important break.
Hello, this is Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and you know, Charlie Evers is a Marion radio legend, and you can catch him right here on WWGH 107.1 FM and streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. Charlie also takes your calls on anything under the sun by calling this number, 740-383-9944. Speedy delivery.
The Fayee Bank Charlie Evers Show every Wednesday and Thursday, 10:10 a.m. till 12 noon, and Friday, 1:10 p.m. till 3 p.m. on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
Hi, this is Steve Boom Boom Cannon, and as the king of trivia, I've got a question for you. Where can you find great talk, open phone lines, and celebrities every day? Now with Scott Spears on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP. We're in Marion, Ohio. Call him at 740-383-9944. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
From 12:10 to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. Hey, Scott Spears back with you here 17 minutes past the hour. We just had a little delay there. The Lieutenant Governor is going to be with us momentarily, so we hope you stick with us here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. And remember, we are always streaming live on the internet at WWGH1071.com. That's where we have all kinds of live streaming programs and an audio archive dating back to January of 2016 that you might want to look at, WWGH1071.com. You can also get us on the free TuneIn app by downloading TuneIn, totally free, and you can get us on any mobile device around the world, so that's kind of fun as well. But again, you're tuned into WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, currently 18 minutes past the hour. And boy, is it a gloomy, gloomy July day, just as dark as could be outside. But you know, we've had a lot of these days. I mean, I did not get a chance to go to the Marion County Fair this year, but holy moly, it rained so much and it just gloomy weather, and it seems to happen every night. Did anybody hear that storm this morning that came through? I mean, holy moly, that thing cracked about 7 o'clock this morning. The thunder, the lightning, the rain, the noise. I mean, that was terrible. That would wake a dead man out of his sleep without question. I do want to review our prize rules while we're waiting on the Lieutenant Governor here. WWGH prize rules, you can only win one time every 30 days. You must pick up your prize within 10 days of the day you won your prize. You must be at least 18 years of age to win, and the WWGH staff reserves the right to question any and all distribution of prizes. You can pick up your prizes at the WWGH studios anytime, Monday through Friday, between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. Now, we are located on Center Street, right across from Domino's Pizza, in the lower level of the Belltone Building. Very nice area over here of town, just up the road from Lee's Chicken. So those are the prize rules. Now remember, Facebook is also very important. You can go to Facebook and search WWGH Radio 107.1 FM Marion, Ohio, and you can get all kinds of exclusive information. You can get information on upcoming guests on this show. You can see pictures of exclusive events if a news story happens to break and nobody is here at the station. You can usually get that on the Facebook page, WWGH Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM. Just click like, and you can get all that information. And you can always email us here at the station by just taking the first name of the person you want to talk to, if it were to be me, Scott at WWGH1071.com. That's how we handle that. So those are the things that are going on right now in the world. And it's always fun to have Sean Kraft on. I think he'll be on again with us on Wednesday. But it's always fun to talk about things going on in the world, the way the world turns. I don't even think that daytime drama is on anymore. As the World Turns, is that what it was called? You know, that's one thing that has changed in society. I don't know if it was the internet that did that or the diminishment of television or reality television. But, boy, every afternoon, a lot of people used to watch these daytime dramas, which were called soap operas for so long. Called soap operas because they had so many soap commercials for laundry detergent, soap that you would use in the shower, dishwashing detergent, because they thought that was the female audience. And the show that had the largest audience is where you wanted to advertise your soap product. So that's always been fascinating to me, how times have changed. There were staples of things that people had in their life for so many years that are just no longer there. And it sounds like it has started to rain again, a little harder. We've had a lot of rain this year. I don't know if this is going to go down as one of the rainiest years on record, but boy, we certainly have had a lot of rain, to be sure. I don't know what the Farmer's Almanac said about that. I have a copy of the old Farmer's Almanac, but I'm not sure if it predicted this much rain or not. But we certainly have had a lot of it pretty much since April. April showers brought May showers, brought June showers, and now have brought July showers. I tell you what we're going to do. We are going to take a break and see if we can catch up with the Lieutenant Governor here. So stay with us, WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, and we will be back with you momentarily.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the voices that you want to hear. Marianne Michaels reading a poem by Nan Britton, the mother of President Warren G. Harding.
And it's called Her Eyes by Nan Britton. Sometimes her eyes are blue as deep sea blue, and calm as water stilted at evenfall. I see not quite my child in these blue eyes, but him whose soul shines wondrously through her. Serene and unafraid he was, and knew how to dispel the fears in other hearts. Meeting an anxious gaze, all tranquility. These are her father's eyes. Sometimes her eyes are blue, the azure blue of an October sky on mountaintops. I do not see my child in these blue eyes. They are the eyes of him whose spirit glowed with happiness of soul alone, which lies far deeper than the depths of bluest eyes, whose smile a thing of joy it was to see. These eyes, this smile, are his. Sometimes her eyes are of a tired gray-blue, filled with the sadness of an age-old world. And then again, my child's not in these eyes. These are the eyes of one whom grief assailed, whom disappointment crushed with its great weight. Around his head a halo memory casts, reflecting that refiner's fire which purged him clean and made him what he was. Sometimes, in child amaze and wonder blue, her baby eyes are lifted up to mine. These only are the eyes she brought with her, and so I fold her close within my arms and talk of dolls and stars and mother love. For well I know that pitifully soon she will be grown, and then her eyes will hold only the deeper lights his own eyes knew.
Ah, you had to get a job reading books, Marianne. That was very good.
That's great. Yeah.
Thank you.
That is the introduction to The President's Daughter.
WWG Radio 107.1 FM, the voices you want to hear. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Hey, Scott Spears back with you here. 25 minutes past the hour, and I just got word the Lieutenant Governor is running a little late out of a meeting she's in, so we are going to hope we'll get her here before the hour is out, so we'll keep an eye on the telephone, but we can continue on here. Last week we had some trivia questions that nobody was able to get, and we can give away some tickets to the Ohio State Fair if people get these questions right. Now let me throw some of the questions out that we had last week. Who was Madge Cooper's host on Around the Town? The name of the show was Around the Town. Who was Madge Cooper's co-host on Around the Town? It was called Around the Town with Madge and who? Who is that person? 740-383-9944. Another question we had last week. Who is the most famous person alive? Oh, maybe we got the answer here. Go ahead, caller.
I can answer that for you.
Go right ahead.
Marge Williams.
Marge Williams. Now, have you won in the last 30 days?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm glad you answered.
Her dad was my dad's boss.
Oh, really?
At Coca-Cola, yeah. Her dad was the manager of Coca-Cola back when she was in town.
Now, did you know Marge very well?
Oh, kinda.
Now, what kind of a lady would you describe her as?
Oh, very, very nice. Very nice.
I think she died pretty young because of a brain aneurysm.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, that was unfortunate. And you say you have one in the last 30 days?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I anything else on your mind today?
No, that's it.
Well, hey, I thank you for calling in.
All right.
Bye-bye.
I knew you'd been trying to get that answer. And I heard it the other day, but it was on a playback, and I couldn't call in. So
you have to be a local person to know that answer.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Hey,
for sure.
Why, thank you for calling in.
Alrighty.
Bye-bye. All right, we got that one. It was Marge Williams, Around the Town with Madge and Marge. Okay, that question is now out of the way, and it is raining out there. I just heard the thunder. More thunder. Thunder, rain, and lightning. That seems like that's all we have. Now, here are some of the other questions that we have not got answered. Who is the most famous person alive at the time who did not sign the Declaration of Independence? Who was the most famous person alive when the Declaration of Independence was signed who did not sign it? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And conversely, I think we might have an answer to this one too as well. Let's see here. Hey, you're on the air. Go ahead.
George Washington.
You have it. Then do you know why George Washington didn't sign it?
His pen broke.
Well, no, he was still commanding the troops when they signed it, and he was off in Virginia with the troops at the time.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, did you want some Ohio State Fair tickets?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the name?
Dave Lippert.
Oh, well, how are you, Reverend?
I'm doing well.
Oh, good. Now, what's the weather like out there? I can only see out the window.
I'm just down the street from you a little bit, and it's pouring down rain.
Yeah, have you ever seen a summer this gloomy and rainy?
Yeah. I've been alive a lot longer than you have.
Well, that's true. But this has to rank right up there, wouldn't you say?
It's kind of rainy.
Now, did you spend any time at the fair last week?
No, I did not.
Anything new with you?
Are you going to do that thing on planet that's supposed to fly by Earth?
Yeah, I'm working on that. Give the audience, you sent this to me on Facebook. Tell the audience a little bit about that.
Well, there's supposed to be a planet that's behind the sun that's supposed to miss Earth by 14 million miles. I know it sounds like a long time, but it's going to they're claiming it's going to make all the volcanoes go off and all the ice to melt. I mean, there's just a whole bunch of stuff, and it's supposed to be, you know, bye-bye for us. And, you know, I don't know. I think the more I read it, some science says, no, that's not going to happen, but it's called, what did they say it was, Nextula or something like that?
I think something like that.
The lost planet or whatever, but it goes in a different rotation than what we do. And but you think 14 million miles we'd be safe, but evidently it's bigger than Earth, and so when it flies by, it's goodbye.
Ah, well,
you can look it up and probably get more out of it than what I've just given you, because it's been a while since I've looked at it. But I thought it was so unusual because that new program, Salvation, premieres Wednesday, and it's the asteroid that's going to hit Earth, and you know, do we say bye-bye to that? But anyway.
Well, hopefully we won't say bye-bye too soon.
Well, I'm ready.
You've had enough, huh?
Ready enough.
Well, I tell you what, I will put your name down here for 2 tickets to the Ohio State Fair.
Yes, I thought you said Cedar Point.
No, not... Did I say Cedar Point? We don't have Cedar Point yet. We usually get those in the fall.
Oh, okay. Okay, Ohio State Fair. We need those. Let's go.
All right. You can pick those up between 10 and 3 anytime between Monday and Friday.
Thank you, Scott. God bless you.
Thank you, Reverend. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Now we've got a pattern going here. 2 questions asked and 2 questions answered. All right, let's move on to the third one. Maybe the phone will ring away again, and we can get the third question answered. Okay, we asked who the most famous person was at the time the Declaration of Independence was signed, who did not sign it. Now, here's a different way of putting that question. Who is the most famous person alive at the time of the Declaration of Independence signing that did not become president? Who is the most famous person alive at the time of the Declaration of Independence was signed, who signed it, that never became president? Who was that? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Who was the most famous person alive at the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, who did sign it, but who never became president? 740-383-9944. Let's see here. I know we have some other questions here that we can ask, and we can give you Ohio State Fair tickets. Who founded Marion Midget Football? 45 years they're celebrating this year. Who was the founder? Who founded Marion Midget Football 45 years ago this September? Who was the founder? 740-383-9944. Who were the 3 main characters on WGN's Bozo the Clown show in the 1980s? Did anybody watch a lot of WGN? You know, when this area got cable, we got WGN pretty strong, Channel 9. But who were the 3 main characters on the Bozo the Clown morning show every morning? I think it came on at 7 or 8 in the morning. Who were the 3 main characters who were on that show pretty much every day? So the questions we have on the table: who is the most famous person alive at the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence, who signed it, who never became president? Who founded Marion Midget Football 45 years ago? Or who were the 3 main characters on WGN's Bozo the Clown show in the 1980s? If you know the answers to any of those questions, give me a call, 740-383-9944.
Let me know the answer, and you can win two tickets to the Ohio State Fair, which is coming up very quickly. Hopefully they'll have great weather for the Ohio State Fair and the butter cow and all that. Does anybody know the history of the butter cow? I mean, I know that is one of their highly publicized things, but why do they have the butter cow? Where did the butter cow come from, and why is that such a big deal? Do they have the same butter cow every year? Do they just put it in the refrigerator and bring it out every year, or is it even a butter cow? Is it made of something else that would cause it not to spoil? Does anybody know the answer to that? 740-383-9944. That's a question I have for you. And again, I do want to thank the residents of Seton Square and the management. They sent some very nice cards and letters for help that we were able to provide to them through Meyer. Don't want to forget Meyer in that. And the local unions during the time that Seton Square was without air conditioning. So thank you, Seton Square and residents, for sending that information in. And, you know, I think we're getting a call here that might be one of the important calls that we have been waiting for. So we, again, are going to take a break and back with you in just one moment. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, the voices that you want to hear. Marianne Michaels reading a poem by Nan Britton, the mother of the daughter of President Warren G. Harding.
And it's called Her Eyes by Nan Britton. Sometimes her eyes are blue as deep sea blue, and calm as water stilted at evenfall. I see not quite my child in these blue eyes, but him whose soul shines wondrously through her. Serene and unafraid he was, and knew how to dispel the fears in other hearts. Meeting an anxious gaze, all tranquility, the father's eyes. Sometimes her eyes are blue, the azure blue of an October sky on mountaintops. I do not see my child in these blue eyes. They are the eyes of him whose spirit glowed with happiness of soul alone, which lies far deeper than the depths of bluest eyes, whose smile a thing of joy it was to see. These eyes, this smile, are his. Sometimes her eyes are of a tired gray-blue, filled with the sadness of an age-old world. And then again, my child's not in these eyes. These are the eyes of one whom grief assailed, whom disappointment crushed with its great weight. Around his head a halo memory casts, reflecting that refiner's fire which purged him clean and made him what he was. Sometimes, in child amaze and wonder blue, her baby eyes are lifted up to mine. These only are the eyes she brought with her, and so I fold her close within my arms and talk of dolls and stars and mother love. For well I know that pitifully soon she will be grown, and then her eyes will hold only the deeper lights his own eyes knew.
You ought to get a job reading books, Marianne. That was very good.
That's great. Yeah.
Thank you.
That is the introduction to the president's daughter.
WWG Radio 107.1 FM, the voices you want to hear. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com.
Scott Spears back with you here, 39 minutes past the hour, and so glad to be joined by the current Lieutenant Governor of the state of Ohio, who has thrown her hat in the ring for in the governor's race, the Republican primary for 2018 here in the great state of Ohio, Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor. Lieutenant Governor, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Scott?
It's such a pleasure to talk with you. It always is. And big news last week. Why did you decide to get in the race?
So Ohio's future is very important to me. And when I think about our future, it's going to require a leader of vision, energy, and ability. A leader who can, you know, start with a promise, but don't end there. You've got to turn that promise into policies, and then those policies into actions. And then we have got we have to, one of our biggest challenges is to continue to make sure that every Ohioan has the opportunity to succeed in their life the way that they define it. We've made great progress in the last 6.5 years, but we still have stubborn problems that I want to confront head on when we think about Ohio's future.
The Republican primary is one of the biggest that I've seen in a long time. We have current Attorney General Mike DeWine, Secretary of State John Husted. What sets you apart from those two gentlemen?
So my experience both in the private sector, I'm a CPA, and I worked in public accounting and advised clients, small business and middle market clients in Northeast Ohio. So I've seen, you know, the challenges that business has creating jobs. I've seen the challenge that excess regulatory burdens or taxes, what it really means to decisions being made at the business level. I also had the opportunity to serve as a state auditor, and there we can't challenge the status quo every single day and held government accountable. I modernized the office when I was in the legislature. Prior to that, I voted against my own Republican Party. I voted against a tax increase and got kicked off of a very important committee. I'm an independent voice. I am willing to challenge the status quo, which I have done every step of the way. I have the most conservative record in this race. I win elections, and tough elections, when people have said you can't win. In fact, in 2006, when every other Republican lost statewide races, and in fact, Senator DeWine lost his reelect to the U.S. Senate, I won. I was the only Republican to win statewide that year. So what you get with me is an independent focused challenge. Don't accept an answer if it doesn't make sense. And I will take all of that with me every single day and fight for the people of the state of Ohio.
Ohio has never elected a female governor. Do you think being female will help or hurt you in this race?
So I think as a woman, you know, clearly being elected, if or when elected, being the first woman elected would be certainly a great honor. And, you know, I bring with me as a woman, as a mother, as a wife, all of the life experiences that come from that as a daughter. And my father was my role model and taught me the important lessons like work hard, always do the right thing, the lessons that have helped me be successful. And I bring with me all of those relevant experiences and can demonstrate that I stand up and I fight for what I believe is best for my family and what's best for Ohio families. And so to the extent that is an advantage to me, I certainly appreciate that. But, you know, we're all going to lay our cards on the table, and we're going to bring with us our own life experiences. And I'm prepared to you know, play my cards against my opponents. And I believe that, again, when Republicans go to the polls to vote in May, they're gonna see that I win elections that most said I couldn't, and that I'm willing to challenge the status quo, and that I have the type of leadership and the vision to take Ohio into our future and to solve these stubborn problems that have been plaguing us for too long.
Current Governor Kasich has backed you, but there's some talk of that. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because the governor himself seems to be a little bit at odds about health care in Ohio. Where do you stand on that? And is the governor's backing a good or bad thing in your opinion?
So I have worked with him for many years now, of course, and I have a great deal of respect for him as a person and the work that he's done as governor. I would say to you that Ohio's made great progress under his leadership and through our administration, cutting taxes by $5 billion, eliminating taxes for nearly every small business, closing an $8 billion budget hole and putting Ohio back on the track to a balanced budget and fiscal stability. And I think those are all admirable accomplishments, and he deserves the credit for pushing all of us to get that done for the best interests of the state of Ohio. I will tell you, I welcome his endorsement as I head into this Republican primary. I think that where he and I mean, we're different people, and I will talk about myself as an individual and, again, my life experiences, but also what my hopes and dreams are and my vision for the future of the state of Ohio. And, you know, there may be some differences and who we are as individuals, and I'm prepared to talk about that, but I certainly welcome the endorsement of the governor.
One of the big issues right now is health care. Do you like the health care plan that is being put forth in Washington?
Well, what I would like to see Washington do, for the last 6.5 years, I have been saying Obamacare is not sustainable, and the Medicaid expansion under that's not sustainable, and it needs to be repealed and replaced. And I would like to see Washington get rid of this one size fits all mandate out of Washington on what your health insurance plan should look like. And I'd like to see them restore flexibility to states so we can design our own health insurance. You know, allow the market to work, allow individual consumers to make choices around the type of health insurance they want to purchase and that they need, based on, you know, what their wants and needs are and based on what they can and want to pay for health insurance. So I would like for Washington, with regard to health insurance, to restore the flexibility back to the states, get rid of these one-size-fits-all mandates. With regard to Medicaid, I would like to see a lot more flexibility to design here in Ohio a Medicaid system that allows us to address the most vulnerable population and gives us the flexibility we need to meet the individual needs of individuals in their communities across the state of Ohio. So I hope that they get together in Washington and come up with a solution that gives states flexibility. I think if they do that, then I think we're going to start to see some we're going to see some more stability in the health insurance market, and rates will come down, and states like Ohio can utilize our resources and tools and put together a good Medicaid plan that continues to address the needs of our most vulnerable population.
Something that's very important is the opioid epidemic. I think it's going to be something we all face as we head into the next governor's term. You've been very open about your son's addictions. What do you say to a mother or father in Ohio, and there are a lot of them, who is shocked that this has happened to their kids?
Well, I mean, first of all, I would say that, unfortunately, it is shocking as a parent. I can tell you, having, as you've said, dealt with it personally in my own home, it's shocking. And there's nothing more terrifying as a parent than having an issue that you just don't know how to, you know, as a parent, you don't know how to help your kids. And, I mean, that's very frustrating as a parent. But I can tell you, this is one of the most important issues to me, and I will give my full commitment that we will confront and defeat the opiate epidemic. We know it's touched way too many families. It is a complex problem, and it deserves a comprehensive solution. And part of that for me is asking or demanding the federal government step up and stop the stuff at our border, keep the poison from coming into our country and our state in the first place. We need to work in partnership with law enforcement across the communities across the state, working with the state, working with the feds to get the drug dealers off our streets. We need more and better treatment that treats the brain disease that addiction is. We need to enlist the support of the faith-based community and have, and in many communities they already are involved, and I think we're seeing good outcomes because of that. We need community leaders, educators. We need a public education campaign that talks about the dangers of opiates and heroin and drug addiction and helping, you know, to keep our young people off of drugs in the first place. So it's a very complex problem, but my administration will put forth a comprehensive solution to the problem, and we'll be prepared to fund it.
And my final question is, in every press release I read, since Attorney General Mike DeWine has announced his candidacy, it always says front runner, front runner. Why do you think he's considered the front runner, and what are the differences between you and Attorney General DeWine for people, Republicans, making the choice come next May?
So I guess I would say the reason that there's this front runner status is because he's been on the ballot since 1976 and is, you know, spent a lot of time serving in government. He has a high name ID because of that. So when you think about how you do a poll right now, it's going to be based on whose name ID is the highest. But where I differentiate myself, I win races when others have not, including our Attorney General. I win races that when many say you couldn't, I win tough races, competitive races. I'm a conservative, and I stand true on my conservative principles. I don't just talk about it. And I think when you really want to know where somebody stands, you look at their record, and I think my record will speak very well for itself. I have relevant private sector experience that I have challenged the status quo every single day. I'm fighting for flexibility with regard to women in the workplace and the work that I did in the legislature and standing up to my own party and voting against a tax increase, holding government accountable, a state auditor, the work that we've done challenging the status quo every single day at CSI and regulatory reform, and being Ohio's most vocal critic of Obamacare while I was the director of the Department of Insurance. So I am prepared to lay my record on the table and to also prove, which is what we have to do in a campaign, to those that are voting that I have the leadership, the vision, the energy, and the policies that will not only win an election, but also help deal with the stubborn problems that we face in Ohio, and most important, best position Ohio for our future. And I think that's what's the most important responsibility of the next governor of the state of Ohio.
Do you think Attorney General DeWine would you call him a conservative?
I guess right now I'm not going to get into the debating back and forth about, him or any one of my opponents. I think really more, I want to focus on my record and my conservative credentials, and I'll let that speak for itself, and there will be plenty of time to have the debate about, who my opponents are and stack up our resumes against each other. And I think that a resume is important. I think that our voting records are important. And I also think that when you look at all of the candidates, who has the vision, the energy, and is laying out the policies to help deal with the real challenges that we face in Ohio. And we're gonna be talking a lot about that over the next several months. And I look forward to this campaign getting kicked off. And I'm in this race to win. And I'm ready to go.
I know this absolutely, and this is a big pass to throw at you with just a few minutes left here. But the opioid epidemic, I do want to go back to that for a second, because what is the main thing? Because people don't seem to have any answer. They feel like it's unending. Is it the dealer? Is it the doctor? Is it the person? Is it the parents? What is the first thing people can do to help fight this problem?
So I would say the solution is all of the above. And that's what I'm focused on right now, the solution. So it's going to be the work that we've done in this administration, where we've issued regulations for acute pain. Doctors can't prescribe pain pills for longer than 7 days, and dentists can't prescribe for longer than 5 days. I think that is vitally important in our war against opiates and heroin. Many people who are addicted today started with a legal prescription for a pain pill. And then we have also learned that many of those ended up on the streets being sold illegally and used for illicit purposes. So I think that is a huge, huge step forward. So I think the medical community has to step up and be more forthright about not only the use of prescription pain pills, but also in the education of their patients in their use of those pain pills. I think it's a comprehensive education, statewide education campaign, where we need to be talking about the dangers of drug use and making sure that our young people understand how dangerous opiates and heroin are and how addictive they are and just how devastating these drugs in particular, but any drugs. So it's not just opiates and heroin and will it turn to cocaine or something else. I mean, we're talking about all addiction. It's also a brain recognize that not just about getting sober, it's about staying sober, and doing so requires comprehensive treatment and knowing that we have to heal the brain, and it's law enforcement and how can we work together to get the drug dealers off the street. We got to slow the demand on one side, but then we also have to keep the drugs off our street on the other side. And then just parents being vigilant. One thing I've learned through my own personal experience is there's no answer in blame and who do we blame for how this happened. That's not where you find answers or solutions. We're going to find answers and solutions by working together. I would just encourage parents to be vigilant about their kids, and especially their young kids. And if you're concerned about something, then do something about it or say something about it. And I never give advice to parents for the most part, because it's just, you know, everybody learns every day through their own experiences. But I think that's just the one thing I would say to a parent, is just be diligent every single day. But the solution to this is an all-of-the-above solution, and we're going to need the faith-based community, educators, law enforcement, everybody stepping up, working together, continuing to work together to battle this crisis that is killing way too many of our fellow Ohioans.
Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Ohio and current candidate for Governor of Ohio, Mary Taylor. It's always a pleasure to speak with you, Lieutenant Governor, and I hope we can do it again real soon.
Great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor, well, we've got 5 minutes left. If you want to comment on that interview, I thank her for giving us her time. She's very busy. She was caught up in a meeting, and then she finally got to us, and that's very kind of her to get in under the wire today. What a pleasure she was to talk to. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give us a call if you have any thoughts on the interview with Mary Taylor, Lieutenant Governor of the state of Ohio, who is currently running for governor. If she wins, she'll be the first female ever elected. But you got to say, Attorney General DeWine and John Husted, what guts it does take to run for office. It takes a tremendous amount of time and guts, so I applaud anybody who runs for office. Go ahead, caller.
Did you get the answer to the signer that never became president?
I don't think so.
Alexander Hamilton.
You know what? I did not rank him as the most famous. The poll I saw, he was not the most famous. That's a good guess,
really?
Though. Yeah, no, not the most famous.
With all that he did, have you read the biography of Alexander Hamilton?
Yes, I'd be amazed. But there's
at
one
all the things he did.
I think this is based upon name recognition, and I think this person who I'm talking about still has greater name recognition.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, hey, I thank you for calling in.
All right. Well, that was one possibility.
That was a good one. Maybe that's number two. We'll see if anybody gets number one. Thank you.
Okay.
Again, telephone lines are open, and again, I do want to say that, because I want to have Attorney General DeWine on. I want to extend that invitation to him, and also to Secretary of State John Husted. I would like to have both of them on, and the Democrats who are running. This is an open forum. This is not a partisan station. If you're running and you want to come on and talk, we want to hear from you. So that invitation goes out to all of them, and just like it did to Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor. And like I say, I do want to say, Democrat or Republican, Attorney General DeWine, Secretary of State Husted, Lieutenant Governor Taylor, just to run for office, it takes such a tremendous amount of time and effort that I applaud those people, because they are public servants, and that's it's a big job. It's a big job with big decisions. So I applaud all of them. The question the caller was referring to there, who is the most famous person alive at the time of the signing of the Declaration of Independence that never became president? The guess was Alexander Hamilton. According to the poll I saw, it's not Alexander Hamilton. Who had a higher name recognition than Alexander Hamilton? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. We got a couple minutes left if you want to take a stab at that one, or if you want to comment on the interview with Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor. Did you like what she had to say? Do you disagree with what she had to say? We'd love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. As this gloomy day in July just continue. Oh, it looks a little brighter outside now. I'm looking through the window. Looks a little brighter outside. Not too much, just a little brighter. But we'll deal with it. It's July. At least the temperatures are warm. At least it's not 30 or 40 degrees outside. Maybe raining, but it's not cold. So we will take anything we can get. Coming up later on this week on the show, I believe we're going to have our Congressman Jim Jordan on. We haven't talked to him in a while, and I believe he will be on one day this week. And I think we'll have on Eleanor Cliff from the Daily Beast to discuss all that's going on in Washington later this week. So lots of great guests coming up. That's why you want to tune in every day Monday through Thursday, 12 to 2, and Friday, 12 to 1. You never know who will be on, depending on the breaking news story of the day. Well, we certainly want to thank Sean Kraft and Lieutenant Governor Mary Taylor for coming on the program today. We will be back tomorrow. Stay tuned to this station. But for now, this is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
WWGH Radio LP Marion, Ohio. The Talking Place. For former coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, Jim Tressel.
You know, it's interesting because everybody knows.